Want to talk a little bit tonight on a subject on whom His favor rests. On whom His favor rests. We have been told many, many, many times by people that it's obvious God's favor is on this ministry. And it is. I'm not bragging on me. I'm thanking God. It's because of the people that are here, our staff all over the United States. God has called people together. And we're not the only one it's on, by the way. That's not exclusive. But what I want to look at tonight is how does that happen? And how can we get that to happen to us? And then how can we keep it going? So tonight, as you turn to page 61, of course, Merry Christmas, everybody. It's great, just to think about what happened today. You know, of course, we don't know it was December 25th, and that really don't matter. What really matters is it happened. Amen? And I've been to the site where they say it was. And again, you know, that's great, but it don't matter to me if that was the site or not. What really matters is it happened. Somewhere, it happened. And so we're going to read a little scripture about the announcement of His birth in Luke chapter 2, page 61 in our little Bible. We're reading out the New King James Version. If you have your own, it might be a little bit different. And you're welcome to keep that Bible tonight. It says, "Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. And the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people.'" You know, it's always amazing when God comes on the scene, it's peace. He always says, "Peace be with you," or the angels of God, the messengers of God, brings peace. Amen. Even in this chaotic, troubled world, and if there's one thing our world needs today, it's peace. But it's not the peace that they think about. When they think, the world thinks of peace, that means nobody's at war. But it goes deeper than that because of the spiritual war going on inside us. We could have every gun in the world and every weapon laid down, and we still wouldn't have peace. Not without God. You know, so he said, the angel said, "Don't be afraid." Or in one version it says, "Fear not." Don't be afraid. He says this in verse 11, "For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men.'" There's another version that says, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom His favor rests." I like that version. I like that. Because peace is not on everybody. Right? The world's not living in peace. Right? And a lot of people, you meet them every day, and I do too, they are struggling and trying to find peace. But it can't be bought. Amen? I had a person of renown ask me one time, he called me Rev. He said, "Rev, how come you're so happy all the time?" I said, "Richard, I got something right here your money can't buy. But you could have both if you want." But the trouble with him, he was like that rich young ruler that Jesus said, "Go sell what you have and give to the poor and come follow me." He had a God. And by the way, I'm proud to announce that I've recontacted this same person. He's now living in Alabama. And he is my brother in Christ. He said. He said. I didn't bring it up. He did. I found him on Facebook, of course, where you find everybody. But, you know, I was just curious. I put his name in there, and it popped up. And I thought, wow. So I sent him a text message. He sent me one back, and we started. It was a whole different person. Well, how did he become a whole different person? Jesus. the Savior of the world. Not only do we need to be born again, that'll keep us out of hell, that'll get us into heaven, but what about between the time I'm born again and I die or the rapture of the church happens? We need some help there. We need to learn how to walk in peace and how to walk in that. The question we have tonight to pose to ourselves is, does God's favor rest on me? All of us need to ask ourselves that. We're not talking about whether or not you're born again. We're saying, does God's favor rest on you? Now, how do you, you may say, well, how does that happen? Well, I'm glad you asked. Because Mary answered that a little bit later in that story. And I love to read this over and over and over. David and I were talking earlier this evening about I read this story in the Bible and I get a different blessing every time. I mean, just it's continuous. Since December, I just celebrated a spiritual birthday, December the 19th, 1971. I became a born-again Christian. I've been studying this book ever since then, not as much as I ought to, but I've been studying this book ever since, and every time I look in it, I just started reading Isaiah again, and I'm learning something all over again as if I'd never seen it. Has it changed? No. No, but my walk with God just gets deeper and deeper. It's like the ocean, you know. Further you go, the deeper it gets, right? You got a choice. Keep going or stay in the shallow water. You get wet in the shallow water. Me, I want to go for it. I want to see how deep does it get, right? But that's costly because more and more of my flesh has to die to get there. To have that favor rest on me and to be able to walk in peace with God means I've got to totally sell out to Him and say no matter what. Well, Mary said it best in verse 38 of Luke chapter 1. Back up to Luke chapter 1, I'm sorry. Probably a page or two back in your Bible. Luke chapter 1. The story starts in verse 26. And it talks about the angel Gabriel. And David and I was talking about his role in this earlier. And he shared some things I hadn't even thought about. But old Gabriel, David brought out to me, here's this angel that was sent to tell this virgin teenage girl, you're going to have a baby. That ain't ever happened before or since. And you got the job to go tell this girl you're going to be impregnated by the Holy Spirit. Right. What is that? You know, now we can look back at it and understand it. You got to put yourself in the position of the person that we're reading about. What if you were there? Huh? And Joseph, I talked about this many times. In fact, on a daily program, Joseph is one of my heroes. Because he's engaged to this teenage girl. He has not touched her. They have not had sex. And the same angel goes tell him, by the way, your girlfriend's pregnant. I know what I'd have said probably. This Joseph would have said, she's got her troubles and I got mine. But he didn't, did he? Just like Mary, in not so many words, he said, whatever you say. Now that's having God's favor and knowing that you know that you know. Because you know what, folks, I'm learning. One little thing I've learned, and I'm learning over and over, is God's not necessarily logical. We run on logic, don't we? We're created to run on logic. And you have to logically explain to me how something happens for me to comprehend it. But God's not logical. We may not understand it. We just accept it by faith and say, okay, if that's what you say, that's okay. I mean, you explain salvation for crying out loud. How can a person be a sinner one minute and the next minute be totally clean? You can't explain that, right? And you've seen people in your life that God just turned around, some progressively, but sometimes it's bam, like that, you know? I call it a 180-degree turnaround. My son's one of them. And I'm proud to say that. Got a call this week, wished me Merry Christmas. He said, how's Joey doing? I said, great. Now, I'm saying that by the grace of God. There's some in this room that I think two beer joints went broke when he got saved.
Hallelujah.
But God turned you around. But you know what? We got that choice. He's not going to do that if we don't let him. We still got the right to say no. And there's thousands and millions of people today saying no. And what bothers me is some, I believe Romans chapter 1 teaches of a point of no return. I believe that with all my heart. There is a line you can cross because God said, my spirit will not always strive with man. There's a point when we say no one time too many. And he says, okay, if that's what you want. Because he's not going to make me go to heaven. Amen? That's my choice. He made his choice when he came to earth. We celebrate today his birth. He made the choice, his choice then. And he died and he rose again. He made his choice there and said, okay, Joe, I've made a way. Now you can take it or leave it. Right? And of course, we know when you leave it, you are very, very miserable. I had a guy one time many years ago when I was still driving. Was in a restaurant. There was some of us sitting at a table, and I somehow wound up on the inside, which doesn't bother me. And this guy, I was witness to the guy across from me. And the guy sitting beside him, if you can picture this, four of us in a booth. And I was telling him about living for God. And I was in my infancy then, really. I might could have told you John was before Revelation. I don't know if I could even tell you that then, really. But God had done a work in my life, and that's what I was telling him, what God had done for me. I don't understand it. I don't know how he did it. I just told him what happened. And this guy, loud enough for everybody in the restaurant to hear, said, I used to do that. I used to go to church. I used to do all that. And I don't do that anymore. And when he got through, I was waiting. Because again, I was in my infancy. I didn't know I was supposed to be nice. As loud as he talked, I said, now I want you to stand up and tell everybody in this building how happy you are now. I want you to tell everybody in here how happy you are and how much joy you have in your life now that you're not serving God. And tears began to fall in his coffin. I said, sir, I know where you are. The good part is I can tell you how to get out of there. But you got to lay yourself down. And I don't know about the women so much, but old men have a problem with that word submit. Submit. I've had many a driver tell me they were praying for a wife, and I said, why don't we just ask the Lord to find you one? Yeah. Well, I don't know about that. Well, do you want it or not? You know? Do you want him or not? You know, let God do it. I believe with all my heart. We just celebrated 45 years 4 days ago. And I believe with all my heart, even though we weren't serving God, God found her for me. There's no question in my mind, because if she had any sense, she wouldn't be there for 45 years. But, you know, if we allow God to, if we say, well, Mary said in verse 38, drop down to verse 38 in chapter 1. Are you there? Page 59 in that Bible. Somebody find that and read verse 38.
And Mary said, behold, the maidservant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her.
Let it be to me how?
According to your word.
That's submission.
Mm-hmm.
Just prior to that, she's saying, but I'm a virgin. I've never known a man. I've never had sex. And gave all the logical reasons why this can't happen. But at the same time, Mary recognized that this was an angel of God. This was a word coming from God for her. And she said, and I'm going to paraphrase here a little bit. She said, none of this makes any sense. This can't possibly happen, but, if that's what you say, let it be made unto me. What'd she say? Let it be to me according to your word. And if you look back in Matthew's gospel, you'll find the account of Joseph and his. We're not going to read that tonight, but over in Matthew recorded Joseph's meeting with the angel. And again, he said, your girlfriend's pregnant. The woman you're engaged to is pregnant. And the bottom line was, he said, okay. How many of us do you think would have said, okay? I mean, I know I hadn't touched her. If you know you hadn't, and ain't nobody ever got pregnant before without having sex, and you're going to tell me my they're the same thing as already married, but they were espoused, right? Engaged. You're going to tell me that Jan's pregnant, and I know I hadn't touched her, and you want me to go ahead and marry her, and worse yet, I can't touch her till after the baby's born. Are you crazy? But that's not what he said, is it? See, we want God's favor. We want what Joseph and Mary had, but we're not willing to pay for it. That anointing of God is a very precious, if I may call it, thing. Substance. I don't know, how do you describe that? I'm not going to tell you that it won't come without cost. I'd be lying to you. But I'm telling you, it's worth everything you could possibly pay to get it. Wouldn't trade my life for nothing, for no amount of money or nothing. Been there and done that. Thought that would bring me happiness, but it brought me happiness. It didn't bring me any joy. Happiness is emotions. Joy is when you stand in the midst of the storm and you still have peace. That you know that somehow or another, it's going to be all right. I don't understand it, but it's going to be all right. It can happen. Turn over to page 31 now. We find another illustration of a person that logic won't explain, and it's called Jesus Christ. We're celebrating his birth today, but you know what? David prayed in his prayer, if it wasn't for this birth, then the crucifixion couldn't happen. But if the crucifixion hadn't happened, the birth wouldn't have been worth nothing. Amen? Buddha was born and died. Confucius was born and he died, right? And on and on and on. All the gods born and died. We got one that rose again. And I'm happy to announce, I've been to his burial spot and there ain't no bones there. He come out of there. Amen. And by the way, I like this. I heard somebody say, the stone wasn't rolled away for him to get out. It was rolled away so we could get in. He could have come through it if he wanted to. But he opened the door and came out. And then let everybody go in and see he wasn't there no more. And you know the story there. The Roman tried to pay the guards to say they went to sleep and somebody come stole the body. And go to sleep on guard duty means death. In other words, the logic. We got to logically explain this. This guy was graveyard dead. We put him in that tomb. He was dead. And he's gone. And of course, you know, the story went around for forever that somebody had stolen his body. Come and stole it. But if you look at that wheel that was over that door, it'd take a whole bunch of us to move it. It's big. It's big. It rolls in a track. It's hewn out. I don't know, this wall, and then out from it, the thickness of that wheel, and it was like a stone bottom down there to keep that wheel rolling straight. And they just rolled it in place and sealed the tomb, obviously when people were in there. By some miracle, that got rolled back. Praise God. But just before that, I'm getting ahead of myself. Matthew chapter 26 on page 31. Are you there? Here's the scenario. Here's the picture. Jesus has spent 3 years with a bunch of diddle frits like me trying to teach them something. He didn't go to seminary and recruit his followers. He went to the seashore. He went to the tax collector. You know the story. Look and see who they were. They were just like you and me. And he spent 3 years saying that I'm going to die. I have to die. And then, of course, when it happened, they went bananas. But here in Matthew 26, just before they were coming to arrest him, and you know the story. He said he took Peter, who was it? Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, it says there in verse 37 rather, and took them with him, and he walked and said, stay with me, and I'm going to go over there and pray. You stay here and keep watch. In other words, stay awake. Well, you know the story, right? What happened when he came back? They were asleep. Twice this happened, and they were asleep. Look in verse 39 with me there. Matthew 26, 39. He went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, oh my God, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, what? Not as I will, but as you will. He was 100% man and 100% God. But he was 100% man. Some try to say, well, he was God and he didn't feel anything. No pain. Wrong. He felt every bit of it. And as God, he knew exactly what was fixing to happen. He knew what he had to do. And he even, you know, we don't know to all that's coming, and we still say no. He knew what was about to happen. And he said, not as I will, but as you will. And then again in verse 42, a second time, he said, O my Father, if this cup cannot pass from me unless I drink it, what? Your will be done. How do we get God's favor? Is by being at that point in our life. It said, not my will, your will be done. The Virgin Mary, Jesus Christ. In other words, this don't make any sense, what's going on. But if that's what you want, and we can all tell stories I've shared many, many times about watching my granddaughter die, standing at the foot of her bed, watching life leave her body. Hardest thing, that tears my guts out. Just think about it. I can see it in my mind. Hearing the monitor going to nothing, to flatline, for the third time. They brought her back twice. The second time said, we're not going to be able to save her. And hearing that thing just slowly stop. And I heard this little voice in my head say, where's your God now? Where's the guy you've been praying to all night? Buddy, you better be on the rock to find peace then. I'm not bragging on me now. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. Paul said, it's not I, but Christ that liveth within me. You can get to the point where this don't make sense. And I was asking God that night, how can this be good? I don't understand it. I remember thinking this in my mind. I don't understand this, God. This is my 6-year-old grandchild. She ain't never hurt nobody. She's in church every Sunday. She loves Sunday school. She loved to go. However, I also know, God, that your word says that all things work together for good. That scripture came to my mind. And I said, okay, just get us through this somehow or another. And he did. And we've seen great things happen from that. Just like with Mary being submissive, just like with Jesus being submissive to the Father's will. If he hadn't done it, we wouldn't have no salvation. Think about that. And he didn't have to. He didn't have to, folks. Now let's go back to Luke chapter 2 for a minute. Go back to page 61, if you will. Let's look at the response to the shepherds. You say that was Mary and Joseph and that was Jesus. Well, let's look at the everyday fellows. And by the way, when I'd heard and read in the Bible hundreds of times about the wilderness, well, I'm from South Georgia. I just figured it was a bunch of woods. It's a desert. It's a bad place. Let's go back to Luke chapter 2 and verse 15. Are you there? So as it was, when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. Notice verse 16 with me, please. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe. They did not delay. They left everything and said, let's go see this thing that's happened. They received that news with excitement. And again, why should they leave what they're doing on the idea that some baby is born over there? Well, big deal. But they obeyed the voice of the Lord that spoke through the angels, right? Who carried that message. And God sends his message through people. He'll send his message through you and through me to people. And they have an option to obey God's voice, not mine or yours, but what God is speaking, right? I have the choice every day. Sometimes I actually do it. Sometimes I actually do the right thing. That surprises me. But no, I'm serious. I'm just as human as you are. I'd like to tell you that, man, when God speaks, I just jump up and go do it. Don't happen like that. Because I'm not there yet, but I'm working on it. I want to be there. I want to be there. And every time I say that, I can know here comes another attack. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's coming. But I also know I got a covering. I know somebody's there going to be with me in that attack. And he can't lose. Amen. And, of course, they got there where Mary and Joseph was and worshiped God. And it said, then the shepherd returned glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen. You know, there's another group. We don't have time to cover it all tonight. But I remember another group, and Jesus was walking along the seashore. And there were some fishermen there, one of them named Peter. He's my hero. I love old Peter. He reminded me of Joe Hunter a whole lot. He speaks and thinks later. That's not a good plan. You know, he was always spouting off something. What is he known for, really? For failing, right? But do you ever happen to think, for instance, walking on the water? That's one of the big stories that's told about Peter. And a lot of people like to talk about how Peter sank. The Bible doesn't say he sank. It said beginning to sink. Now, we don't know if he got ankle deep, knee deep, you know, up to his eyeballs. We don't know. But one thing he did do was cry out to God, right? called out to Jesus for help. And we know what happened. Well, before that, he's doing his thing. By the way, Peter was the owner-operator. Anybody owner-operator in here?
Was.
He was an owner-operator. He owned a fleet of fishing boats. He did. He was very wealthy, actually. And here comes Jesus along and says, come follow me and I'll make you what? Fishers of men. What did they do? Dropped their nets and went. That still boggles my mind. That's his business. That's his livelihood. He had a family somewhere. He had a wife somewhere saying, have you lost your mind? But he went. Because he recognized the authority in this man called Jesus. And he knew, somehow he knew, this is good. This is going to be all right. Well, not only Peter, but the others dropped their nets and left. Well, to get to that point, we got to start with belief. I bet if you interviewed everybody on this truck stop, probably 99% would say they believe in God. Right? More than likely. But that's not true. Most of them would say, I believe the Bible. But they don't. Because if they really believe this Bible, they'd know there's a place called hell. And they would know they're going to that place called hell unless they do something. And that's accept Christ as their Savior. So when people say, I believe the Bible, if I have the liberty, I'll say, no, you don't. No, you don't. Because if you really did, you'd be following after Jesus Christ. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 1, 53 talks about Jesus, by the way. It prophesies about him. But that first verse stands out in my mind. And the writer said, who will believe our report? Preachers standing in pulpits all over the world today, preaching the gospel, sharing the good news. There's drivers sitting at counters. There's drivers sitting at tables all over this country, sharing the good news. But who will believe that report? Because it's not logical. What do you mean? Do I have to give up everything, Chaplain Joe? Yes. Remember the story of the rich young guy that came to Jesus? He said, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Right? Jesus said, you know the commandments? He said, oh, no problem. I do all that. And Jesus looked at him right where it hurts and said, go sell what you have. Give to the poor. Take up your cross. Come follow me. Anybody know what happened to that? What did he say? No way. He couldn't, because that had such a hold on him. I remember the night, and you've heard my stories over and over, but when I was studying this, I remembered, in fact, I was coming down I-85. David and I was talking about it. We had gone to Gainesville, Georgia, and was coming back. And I remember driving my truck down I-85 that night. And God spoke to my heart and said, go home and quit your job. He didn't bother to say how we're going to live. And of course, I said, all right, that's a good idea. No, I didn't. I didn't say it, but I thought, are you crazy? What? Come follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. After a long discussion, and I realized I was losing. Men, there's three things, you know, you don't argue with a road atlas, your wife, or God. And not necessarily in that order. But you won't win any one of them. Jan said the only reason I got a GPS is so I could argue with her. But mine's got a loony in it. I'm telling her, she's crazy. But anyway, that's another story. I've learned the hard way, or I don't know if you call it hard way, but the best thing to do is submit to God to start with. Save a lot of time and trouble. Because you're going to. Yes, you're going to. And in your heart, you know you're going to. But we got to put up this last fight somehow or another and say, show me how. But he won't. There's got to be some faith there somewhere. Now, by the way, faith and stupidity is about a hair width apart. Let me tell you that. Really and truly. I've had a lot of ideas that I thought were sure enough God, but they never worked out. Obviously, they were mine and not his. Everyone he's ever gave me works out. Not when I want it to necessarily, but it always works out. He's always right. Amen? We have to admit, he's always right. I was doing my first wedding, which was my niece. I'm happy to say they're still married. They got grandchildren now, by the way. And I was walking around. It was an outside wedding in the middle of the summer, and I was scared to death, had my three-piece suit on, which I didn't like to start with. But for them, I wore it. And I was standing in the arbor. Is that what you call that thing? I didn't have a chance of getting any breeze on me. There was shrubbery behind me, and they were in front of me, and I was sweating like a big dog. Part of it was weather, part of it I was just flat scared. And this photographer friend of mine, who was a Christian, he said, I see you got your narrow-minded book with you. And I'm looking on, what? He said, in your hand. Oh, the Bible? He said, it's pretty narrow-minded. Jesus said, it's my way or go to hell. I said, I never thought of that. It is pretty narrow-minded. But he's always right. It's not so hard to follow somebody that you know is going to be right, is it? I mean, you trust this person or whatever it might be. You don't have any problem following them. Well, when we finally figure out, as Isaiah said, when we can believe his report, which simply says, come follow me. That don't mean everybody quit your job and go to full-time ministry. It means give up whatever he's telling you to put behind you and come follow him. It may mean witnessing where you really don't want to. When everybody else is talking something else. Been there and done that. Drove for 20 years, right? Been there and done that many times. Hot weekend laying over somewhere. Let's go get a cool one. And your flesh says, that's a good idea. And your spirit man says, that ain't a good idea at all. Well, y'all go ahead. I'll be here. Well, come on, man. You ain't religious, are you? I said, no. Not by a long shot am I religious. But I have a relationship with Jesus Christ. It isn't that I can't. He give me something much better. Loretta Lynn's song says, if you've never tasted T-bone steak, peanut butter tastes just fine. I like that song because that little lyric, because if you've never had Jesus Christ in the world, it's okay. But once you get him, nothing else will satisfy. I'm telling you, folks, the greatest peace, the greatest joy, but you got to get over that hump. And I know what I'm asking. I know what I'm saying because I've been there and I go there. It ain't just one hump, by the way. By the time I think I got it figured out, here's another hump. And I hear that voice saying, do you love me? Well, yes, Lord, I love you. Well, do so and so. Is there another plan? You know the story about the guy that fell off the side of the cliff and he was hanging on to the limb. You've heard that. Hollering, help! And God said, do you trust me? And he said, yes, God. He said, turn loose. He said, anybody else up there? That's what we want. I'd rather have a rope. Just drop me a rope. Turn loose. And in essence, that's what he asks us all the time. Turn loose of something. Your so-called security. Your so-called pleasure. Your so-called, and I'm talking about me too. I have the opportunity rather often to do that. Make a choice. Not whether I'm saved or not, no. I'm saved. God's not going to throw me out because I say no to something he wants. But I'll tell you one thing I do. I have found out I'll be very miserable when I do that. Till I come to the point and say, would you let me try that one more time? Would you bring that back around? I believe I can do it this time. He said, no. No. And what he does is try something else that I'm not ready for. Okay, Joe, I want you to, oh, Lord, not that. And that the way we are? But I think of that little virgin teenager that told that angel, I don't understand how this could possibly happen, but be it unto me as you have said. Are you willing to say that? That's the only way to get saved. Is you got to be at that point saying, God, I'm sick and tired of where I've been. I'm not satisfied. And even if you're born again tonight, you may say this. I'm just not satisfied with my life. Well, I encourage you to step out a little further. To walk out a little bit further. I kind of envision truck stop ministries like Peter. We done walked off and left the boat. I can't reach back and get it. I got one or two choices, keep walking or sink. I'd rather keep walking. Amen? And mind you, that story you need to read sometime, he was walking on the water. He walked on the water. Not only that, when Jesus picked him up, they walked back to the boat together on the water. So point is, God was right all the time. But you know that story. Peter looked down. We look at the situation. Tonight, I want to challenge you. If you've never been born again, try. Try. I'll make a wager. I'll make you an offer. If you'll give your life to Christ, and I mean totally surrender, the best you can surrender, go with him and study his word for 1 year. Come back here December 2012 and tell me this has been the worst year of my life. Or tell me it's not been good. And I'll burn that book and go with you. Because you won't be honest. You can't do that honestly. There's no way. There's no way. Because you'll still go through trials. What we sing in that song, right? Through many. That beautiful woman on the back there has Parkinson's disease. She just won't quit. She says, that's not going to master me. What an inspiration she is to me. I kid you not. I've seen her come in here, and David has too, on Wednesday night, Sunday night, and she's walking sideways across the parking lot. Right? Sometimes Carrie's almost carrying her. But she's here. And I think if she can do that, surely I can do what God's telling me to do. That's right. Trust in God literally for the next step. Well, I challenge you, let's do that ourselves. All of us in our individual way. I'm going to pray a prayer. I'm going to ask everybody to pray it with me so the ones that want to won't be embarrassed. Now, I want you to have your heads up and eyes open. I want you to learn to pray that way, by the way, because going down the road, please don't close your eyes to pray. And don't get on your knees, because I might be coming the other way. The good thing is you can talk to God anywhere, anytime. Man, I haul swinging meat across Texas, across the black ice. Yes. There was times when my prayers were not King James. It was like, help! I mean, it's sliding. There ain't nothing you can do about it. If the wind blows it the wrong way, you're going to jackknife. I mean, and I don't say, oh, Lord, if thou doubtest, listen to me. No. I'm saying, help. Right? But the good part is, when I said help, he took over. He took over. Every time he takes over. Right? If I let him. But I got to turn loose so he can take over. Whew! That's the hard part. in any area of your life tonight, there's areas in your life, God got you here for a reason. I believe that with all my heart. I'm not here by coincidence. I'm going to challenge you when we pray this prayer in your heart. If you've never been born again, you're going to get born again tonight if you mean this prayer. According to the authority of God's Word, 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sin. Not only that, He said He'll cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That still blows my mind. How He done that? But He does. Woo! He does. I want to challenge you tonight. One, become born again if you're not. Two, if you're not right where you ought to be with God, get there. Time's running out, folks. I'm not a doomsday prophet. I don't know. It might last another 100 years, but I sure do doubt it. I'd be surprised if we wake up here in the morning. I'm serious. The writing's on the wall. But that's exciting. In fact, when that guy predicted the end the other day, I told Dan, I hope he's right. Let's go. I'm serious. Ain't nothing down here. Right? I want all my family to go. I want all my friends to go. That ain't going to happen. Really. In reality, right? We witness all we can, but the rest is God. But I want to make sure I'm ready. That's all I can do. Right? So let's pray this together. Would you pray it out loud with me? Heavenly Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus. I ask you, Lord, to forgive my sins, forgive my unbelief. Help me to learn to totally trust you in every area of my life. Lead me, guide me, and direct me according to your will. And as Mary said, I will say, according to your word, let it be made to me. I'm yours, Lord. Help me learn to walk in your way. In Jesus' name. Amen.